Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is installing WebSphere Integration Developer version 7. Today's presenter is Ying Zhao. Ying has been a level 2 software support engineer for WebSphere Integration Developer since 2006. Her job role is to assist users with problems related to WebSphere Integration Developer. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Ying.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about installing WebSphere Integration Developer version 7. On slide number 2, this slide shows the general agenda of today's presentation. We will start off talking about on a high level, on the architectural level of the installation. Then afterwards, we'll go a little bit in depth of the presentation process itself and follow up with the walkthrough the installation. We simply will talk about the FAQs, frequently asked questions that we come across from our customers and based on our supporting experience with the product. Then, after we finish the FAQ section, then we're going to follow up with troubleshooting. In this particular section, we're going to focus on the strategies and basic techniques that we can rely on to troubleshoot and perform problem determination should our product installation fail. The presentation itself is going to be wrapped up with the recommendations and best practices. This information is mainly based on our supporting experience with our customers and ourselves using the product to install and perform the updates on the product. Now, moving on to slide number 3. So, as probably most of us has already known that WebSphere Integration Developer, in short, WID, since version 6.1 and up, is the installation is supported by IBM Installation Manager, in short, name that is called IM. IBM Installation Manager itself is an Eclipse-based product. Using this Eclipse technology makes the product easy to be able to reuse the shared common assets. And in addition to use IAM to manage the install updates and uninstall or rollback updates, these sort of tedious product maintenance tasks on users' behalf, which simply streamlines the product maintenance. Now, in IAM's term, each product that is to be installed by IAM is called a package. So all packages that are to be installed on one single physical system, they may have some common assets that can be shared among these packages. These common assets are called shared resources, and normally these shared resources is located on one specific single location. And some packages, simply due to the similarity between the products themselves, they may also be installed on the same physical location. And in that case, these two packages supposedly to be installed on the one single physical location is called that's installed in the shell sharing or coexistence environment. And IAM uses the concept of repository to store and manage the product installation images. Thus, makes it possible for us to eliminate the need of downloading the installation image zip files and unzip them onto our local system. In addition to all these benefits, IAM also manages the install, the rollback, and uninstall and so on users' behalf. It is also making it possible for users to pause and then continue on with the installation process, thus makes it a more reliable installation and update and so on, reliable. In addition to all these benefits, it is also possible to silently install products using IAM, thus make it possible for system administrators to plan on unattended product deployment. Last but not least, it is possible use IAM installing multiple products in one single operation, thus simplifies the installation. Moving on to slide number 4. Slide number 4 talks about a little bit on high level of the WebShare integration developer, WID. WID itself is also based on Eclipse technology. It actually is a functional extension of Rational Application Developer. Specific for version 7, WID 7 is built on Rational Application Developer, RAD, 7.5.4. That means using WID, the product not only supports the standard J2EE application development functionalities, it also supports the above and beyond more complicated business process, mediation, and so on, complicated business application development. Now, as we have discussed before, for products which are also based on Rational Application Developer 7.5.4, it is possible for these products to coexist with WID on the same physical location, that means in the same package group. And we will get back to this point later on in the future slide. Now, talks about the older version of WID. WID itself, since the older versions are based on different versions of RAD, thus it is not supported at this point in time to have WID version 7 to coexist with older versions of WID. Slide number 5. Now, what are the benefits of actually upgrading to use WID version 7? Fundamentally, these are the fundamental improvements that are achieved by using WID version 7. So as we have already been discussed, as a functional extension, WID is extension for RAD 7.5.4. And a little bit down the slide, we also see there are, in terms of the runtime test environment improvements, WID 7 test environment is compatible with newer version 7.0.0.7 version of the WebShare process server. In order to install IBM WebShare Integration Developer, the IAM has to be version at 1.3.3 level and up. Slide number 6. In addition to the fundamental improvements that we saw before, we also may experience the other improvements in terms of these improvements made on the optional features, such as on WebShare adapters, Lotus, Forms Designer, and so on. Very specific to the WID 7 installation, with this version of the installation, it is possible to install the product updates while performing the product installation. And in addition to this, based on our own experience, we did see that with 7, installation consumes less resources on the system as during installation as opposed to previous versions. Slide number seven. Now, we're going to discuss a little bit more in depth of the installation process itself. What we would like to emphasize even before we start off the installation process is the process that is necessary is to perform a thorough installation planning. In this phase, the user needs to thoroughly reading through the available online or online documents or documents shipped with the product really releases to make sure that we understand what are the hardware and software requirements and some common problems that users may experience and pitfalls that we may be aware to avoid those problems from occurring during our installation. Now, going into the actual installation, what we are going to walk through is a very typical and straightforward installation scenario. In the WID version 7 info center, it provides also other scenarios of installing the WID. But however, we are going to only discuss one particular scenario in detail. And in this scenario, we assume the user has full administrator authority on the local system. That means with the admin ID, the user is able to use the launchpad to launch the installation process using IAM. And once IAM launches the installation wizard, right off the bat, we see the difference, the WID 7 installation difference compared to the older version of the WID installation. WID 7 installation consists of 3 steps. The installation of WebSphere Integration Developer, that is actually the WebSphere Integration Developer workbench itself. The second step, installing WebSphere Application Server, that is install WAF Server. And third step, installing WebSphere Test Environment, WTE. User quite often asks us why this change compared to older versions. The major benefits that we would like to explain to users are using this 3-step approach, it normally makes tracking the problem, the installation process itself easier and performing problem determination easier should installation problem occurs. However, we did hear that users expressed their concerns over the potential confusion and complexity using this 3-step approach, and perhaps in future releases, simplifying and make this 3-step installation approach more efficient is something we may need to think about. Work on. Slide number 8. Now, to install the WebSphere Integration Developer Workbench, we click on the first step. In the upcoming wizard, we'll be able to choose several options. Whether we want to install the WebSphere Integration Developer Workbench, install other optional features such as the Lotus Forms designers, adapters, or the monitor toolkit. And IAM is going to further proceed to install the process as the user requested. However, before IAM proceeds with installation, normally a pre-check process is going to be executed by IAM. This pre-check process is needed to check whether the installation process is executed on the supported platform with the required fixed level. If the pre-check process detects that the current platform is on the newer fixed level, simply the IAM process is going to give the user a warning message, but the installation process is simply going to go ahead and install the product on the system. However, if the process determines that the underlying system is a non-support platform, then the installation process is going to be blocked. And if user wants to install Lotus Forms Designer or the Monitor Toolkit, the pre-check process also check whether the underlying operating system is Windows. If it's not Windows, that is on Linux, these options are simply disabled. And if the pre-check process also detects there are other Lotus Forms Designer instances already being installed on the system, Lotus Forms Designer option is also grayed out for the user. Slide number 9. If our WID Workbench installation is successful, this slide number 9 shows where the important files are installed and physically located on our system. Here it is a Windows example, and corresponding Linux information may be found in our info center. One important file that we need to be aware is called this file with 700_last_install.txt. This text file simply records the physical location of where WID is installed. This information is important in terms of the WID home information that's recorded in this file is going to be used during the second and third step of the WID installation, that is, to install WAVs and install the WebSphere test environment. And in terms of where the product binary files physically locate, what I have shown here is the default location of where the product should be located. However, default value may not be the recommended and optimal value that should be the install location for the product. What we generally recommend user is to keep the installation path short and without the space in the installation path, so that to avoid potential runtime installation or other application publishing and development problem that may happen in the future. There's another shared resources directory as what we have described before, where these shared resources physically located on our system. And further down, these are the IAM logs and traces. This information comes in to be valuable should our installation for some reason doesn't go through very successfully, then we may need to pull this information out and perform problem determination on these logs. Slide number 10. Now, talking about the test environment installation, test environment installation consists of the second step, installing the WebShare application server, WAF server, and the third step, installing the test environment. In terms of installing the WAF server, first of all, as a user, we need to pre-check our system simply to make sure the system meets the hardware and software requirements that's been documented on our online resources or on our product releases resources. And in addition to that, we also need to ensure that no other IAM instance that is currently running. And once we're ready, we click on the install WAF server link. Once we click on the link, the IAM installation process is going to proceed to install WAF server on our physical system. Behind the scene, the IAM process actually executes the native WAF ISMP install shell multi-platform utility to install WAF server on the user's behalf. The whole process is going to install the WAF server on the location that is with home. This value is taken off from the with 700 underscore last underscore install file. Once the process obtained the information with home, then the installation process is going to install the WAF server on the location of with home underscore with slash runtime slash bi underscore v7. In addition to install the WAF server itself, IAM install process also imports the installed WAF server into IAM repository and preparing it for future WebShare test environment with WTE installation. Moving on to slide number 11. Now, the third step after user clicks on install WebShare test environment, the process is going to install the WebShare process server in most cases that's the by default value. However, if user wants to use the monitor server, then probably in this case, he has the option to choose installing the monitor server. And in addition to install the runtime server, such as the WPS server, the installation process is also going to create the default test environment server profiles. These profiles are created specifically for the test environment, and it suits the needs of performing the application development testing within the WID test environment. Therefore, there's no need for a user to explicitly create some additional further profiles after test environment is successfully installed. By default, the server profiles are going to be created underneath WAF home slash profiles, and by default, since it is the WPS server that's been created, the server profile name is called QWPS. On slide number 12, sometimes we come across problems when we click on install WAF server. Basically, IAM process go back to us and tells us that the process cannot find a valid WID Workbench installed instance. And due to there's no IAM cannot find the WID installed instance. we simply cannot use IAM to automatically create, install WAS server and test the environment. If such problem occurs, in Info Center, there's detailed information being provided to users. How may we get around with this problem by using manual steps? However, in addition to the information provided in the Info Center, what we would like to suggest here is that we probably need to go back and check that with 700_last_install.txt file. It makes sure that this file does exist. If it doesn't exist, then in most cases, what we would like to suggest that we may just simply go back and perform reinstall of WID rather than performing the manual WebSphere test environment installation. It seems to me it is easier taking the approach like this. And if this file with 700_last_install exists on our system, then we just need to check whether WID home information is current and the right value on the specified for our current WID workbench instance. If the value is not correct, then we may just need to correct this value in there, and so that we can proceed with automatically install the WAF server and test the environment using IAM. Proceed on slide number 13. This slide summarizes the information that's been taken from the Info Center should a user prefer to use the manual steps to install the WebSphere test environment, which occurs when the IAM installation process cannot find a valid WID installed instance. Slide number 14. Another frequently asked question is regarding silent install. When we are asked about silent install, usually the request can be categorized into the following four areas. If the request is regarding silently install the installation manager itself, since this is not the focus of our today's discussion, we would like to refer the user to IAM Info Center and find information regarding silently install IAM using installation manager installer. And in regards to the following three areas, silently install the WID workbench, silently install WAS server, and silently install WTE. These three areas, one of my colleagues has written a very informative tech note published as a FAQ, simply tells user step by step how these silent install scripts should be written and executed. And the slide I'm showing here is basically taken from that FAQ tech note. The URL to that FAQ tech note is also listed in my reference slide at the end of this presentation. Slide number 15. Now, in older versions of WID, we sometimes come across users ask us how they may achieve the purpose of installing WID as a non-administrator user. And in version 7 Info Center, this information has been very, very well documented. Basically, the key message that a user should be aware is that in order to be able to install WID as a non-administrator user, the user has to use different installation process rather than the launchpad. The installation process is called user, I-N-S-T. And the user may also need to follow up with the installation process with some manual steps in order to complete full successful WID installation. Slide number 16. We have also been asked about applying fixes on WID once WID 7 is up and running. The requests regarding update also falls underneath the following four areas. If we want to apply fixes on the WID workbench, this is very simple to achieve. Simply, IAM has this function built in. Once open it up, it will automatically detect the updates on the workbench and prompt user to apply the latest fixes or fix packs. And in terms of applying fixes on the WebSphere test environment, since the release of version 7.0.0.2, applying runtime fixes has also been simplified by using IAM process. It's going to be achieved in the same manner as applying fix or fix pack on WebSphere Integration Developer Workbench, as we discussed before. If we want to apply feature packs on WID or on the test environment, then the WID minimum level should be at least at 7.0.0.2. And if sometimes the user applies fix directly on the Eclipse plugins, and in this scenario, basically, we would suggest user to restart WID with a clean command, and in most cases, the user has also, once WID starts up, the user has to also execute clean all projects in order to let the workbench pick up the latest changes that's done on the Eclipse plugins. Slide number 17. This is the coexistence slide. Basically, this slide is telling us fundamentally other products built on top of Rational Application Developer 7.5.4 can coexist with WID version 7. And some of the products we see in this slide that's missing, for example, is the Rational Team Concert. Since as last time we checked, Rational Team Concert has not been updated to Rational Application Developer 7.5.4 yet. So right now it is not supported that we can use Team Concert as the SCM mechanism for WID version 7. Slide number 18. Now, in terms of the questions regarding support platform, very frequently we've been asked about Windows 7 support. Windows 7 support has been added for WID version 7.0.0.2. And another popular question is 64-bit operating system support. And in terms of 64-bit operating system support, WID provides tolerant support on this kind of operating system. That means we require 32-bit compatible mode runs on the 64-bit operating system in order to install and run WID successfully on this kind of environment. Slide number 19. If for some reason WID install fails or update fails, in this case, we sometimes need to uninstall the existing Wiz product packages. And we use IM to uninstall the Wiz product packages. And once we execute the uninstallation wizard, we'll see there are mainly two packages, the Wiz Workbench package and the test environment package that may be uninstalled by IM. Take notice that even though IM installed the WebSphere application server by executing the underlying native ISMP utility to install WAS server, however, we should not use ISMP to uninstall the underlying WAS server used by the test environment. We should always use the IM uninstall wizard to uninstall the test environment. Slide number 20. Even though we performed package uninstall within IM, sometimes there are still some files left over by failed install or update. In this case, this situation leaves the environment in an inconsistent state, thus interfering and blocking future reinstall with. And some manual steps are needed in this sort of situations to clean up the failed installation or updates. And slide number 20 simply shows us how we can achieve such goal by manually deleting the files on the file system. This information is also very well documented in one of our tech notes, which also listed in my reference slide. And slide number 21. This information is on manually clean up the test environment should the installation fail. This information is basically taken from the information that's very well detailed documented in the info center. Slide number 22. Now, moving on to troubleshooting. Basically, in terms of troubleshooting, these are the major areas we need to look into should our product installation, uninstallation, or updates fail. So in this case, first of all, we may look into areas whether there are idle processes that may interfere with the installation, with the Launchpad installation process, such as the idle Java process, or sometimes even the antivirus process may interfere with the installation process and cause the installation fails. And we may look into our system and make sure that our system has the sufficient disk space and so on to meet the hardware and software requirements for Wiz. And we also may need to look into our firewall or security settings to ensure these settings are appropriate so that IAM will be able to find and download the corresponding files to use for install and update. In addition to all of these, another area we may look into is to consider whether the user ID has the authority to use the corresponding process to install and perform the corresponding updates. And last but not least, if the installation or updates fails during during the runtime test environment update or install, we may take a look into whether there are existing fixes or installs being applied using the WAS update installer. Now, slide number 23. In addition to all this high level of troubleshooting techniques, sometimes it's inevitable that we need to look into the actual error messages in order to find out what went wrong. In terms of the WIT Workbench installation, we have listed here the files that are to be collected for problem determination. In addition to that, IAM also provides a very simple one-step click to allow user to collect all these logs in one step. And if the problem occurs during the test environment install, then we may look into the file, log files underneath WAS home or user home in order to find out the error message and perform further problem determination. And slide number 24. In terms of look into the error logs in general, we may pay attention to the timestamp when the error occurs. Then it makes it easy for us to spot the error message that occurs on the error logs. And in addition to that, IAM also provides a graphical tool so that if the problem occurs during Workbench installation, we may use the IAM GUI tool to be easily spot errors or warning messages in the installation log. Should the problem occurs actually during the installation process at the stage of creating the default server profiles, then we may rely on a workaround, that is using the server profile management tool to manually create those server profiles. And sometimes if we come across the actual installation or update problem is due to the fact that IAM is not responding or IAM's performance is sluggish, then in this case, we may consider reinstall IAM, as we're going to discuss this more in detail in next slide. Should all our efforts fail, then our last resort is probably the only way out is to manually clean up the system as what we have discussed before and performing reinstall. Now, moving on to slide number 25. On slide number 25, this one outlines the manual steps of uninstall and reinstall IAM without uninstall those product packages that had been installed by IAM. This information is also detailed in one of the tech notes that also has its URL listed in my reference slide. Now, slide number 26. Recommendations and best practices. Basically, based on our experience of supporting with installation, what we have observed and what we would like to suggest the user is before even start installing the product, planning stage is very important. Taking a proactive approach to installation in general saves user a lot of headache and time should problem occurs down the road during the installation phase. Basically, as we have already mentioned before, during installation process, we would like to limit other application activities on the system simply to avoid potential conflicts with the installation process. It is also important for us to track the installation progress in order to identify in order to make sure the installation process is on the right track, and should problem occurs, it is also easier and earlier for us to identify the problem should we keep track of the installation process. And as last resort, we may use some manual intervention to be able to restore the system and preparing it for future reinstallation. And last but not least, it is also possible for us or to collect the installation logs, either perform further problem determination or sending those logs and traces to IBM support for problem determination. And slide number 27. This slide summarizes the common cavities and pitfalls that we encounter while supporting customers coming call regarding Webster Integration Developer installation. And based on our observation, one of my colleagues has also published a pre-check list simply to warn users aware of those pitfalls in order to avoid potential problems during installation and updates down the road. And this information is simply the outline from that pre-check list. And that pre-check list is also published as a tech note listed in my reference list. Slide number 28. This is a reference list that I have mentioned, which contains the information such as the FAQs, pre-check list, and info center reference, and so on, that may be very useful for Webster Integration Developer installation. Slide number 29. At this point, I would like to say special thanks to my colleague Lei Jiang and Edwin Chen from WET development team for reviewing and providing valuable feedback to this presentation materials, which make this presentation feasible and more informative. And slide number 30, I would like to turn over the line to Joseph.
Thank you, Ying, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Sandra, we would like to open lines for questions.
We do have a question. Our first question is from Mimi Rodriguez. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. I just recently installed WebSphere 7 with and went through this whole process. And upon updating, I was prompted before I could even do an update to roll back two fixes that came in with the general install before I could actually update my environment. Now, I worked with my CAP advocate to roll back these fixes, and then eventually I was able to update my WebSphere to the latest and greatest, which is whatever's out there on IBM's site. I wonder why this was the case. Why did I have to roll back on a Gold Master release install? Why did I have to roll back two fixes before I could actually update my environment?
So basically, as what you have described to me, I suspect is that you have installed with version 7 GM, and afterwards you wanted to upgrade to 7.0.0.3, and in that case, you've been prompted to roll back. Rollback two fixes that's been applied already on your GM image, right, case.
Yep.
So basically what we have heard about is that with the 7003, the test environment, these fixes has already been incorporated in the latest fix pack. However, the existence of this these fixes, simply right now there's no automated mechanism to actually silently uninstall these fixes, and basically then in that case then there shouldn't be any need for rolling back those two fixes, unfortunately. But definitely this is some area that we can further work on in future. So basically in the future I would expect no further user intervention needed when we need to apply newer fixes and newer fix paths.
So we kind of have to suffer through this until, and in the future
This particular release, that's 7003, and definitely I would like to tell you that development is aware of this situation, and your question actually brings up a very important point. We can feedback this information to our development.
Yeah, because this was a big point of contention when we were, installing, and it really caused a large delay in getting things up and running.
Right. I agree with you on this one.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure you guys were aware of this.
Right. Okay. Yes. Thank you for bringing this up.
No problem.
We have no further questions at this time.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation.